What happens when the government finds ways to spy and intrude upon the privacy of its citizens? Will we have privacy again, or is that a thing of the past? Today we talk about it, straight ahead.
It's not just the godless agenda of the nation's secular humanists who rule over us. It's that our privacy has been stolen, and frankly, we were warned.
And the Constitution says government wants to pry, it has to present specific evidence about the target on whom it wants to pry to a judge, and the judge will issue a search warrant specifically describing the information to be seized.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with best-selling author and Bible commentator Jan Markell. Every week this program brings you current events that are interpreted through the lens of the Bible. Jan Markell is joined today with co-host Eric Barger as they talk with Gary Kaw about the issues surrounding the recent scandal of our government spying on Americans. Gary Kaw is the former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana state government. During that time, he learned of efforts underway to establish a one-world political financial system. He also discovered there was a religious motivation connected with these endeavors. Today, our guest is candid about the issues we face in losing our freedom and our privacy. Now, here is Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program, that looks at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective, and now in our 13th year broadcasting radio to the remnant. Let me just say by way of intro here, I'll bring on my guest in a moment, but a horror of unparalleled proportion seems to be unleashed on America. What has been revealed in the last many months now outdoes even what George Orwell talked about in his book 1984, written decades ago. The invasions of privacy recently are an affront to the Fourth Amendment, to the Constitution, and to the Bill of Rights. And it appears our leadership in America actually considers her citizens as terrorists and honors criminals. At least that's the way it feels to some of us, I know, because I hear from some of you. It's not just the godless agenda of the nation's secular humanists who rule over us. It's that our privacy has been stolen, and frankly, we were warned. One who did that was my guest today, Gary Kaw. He began warning on these kinds of issues almost 25 years ago in a couple of his books, one of them En Route to Global Occupation. We'll say more about that later. Gary was one of my speakers at Understanding the Times 09 and 2010. We'll give contact information a little bit later. And I have also in studio with me my co-host for this program anyway, Eric Barger. Gentlemen, welcome to you both. Gary Kaw, you have been out of the country for about 10 months, and what have been your observations of what's been going on here?
Well, looking from a distance and following stories breaking at home and also through the internet, I've just been shocked by the unfolding events back home. Even reporters from what I would label as the normally liberal international press have at times expressed their shock at the brazenness of some of the scandals and the rapidity at which much of this information is coming out. And of course, I'm talking about the cover-up and deception surrounding Benghazi, the widespread surveillance of U.S. citizens by the NSA and FBI, also the IRS meddling, which has gotten quite a bit of publicity recently, taking direct measures against some conservative political and religious groups. You know, I love my country just because I've been gone for a while on a sabbatical, recovering from surgery and doing mission work down here doesn't mean I don't care about what's going on back home, and I've tried to stay abreast looking at everything, and I'm just overwhelmed. And I'm thinking, what else can we do to warn people, to spread the gospel of Christ while we have time? Because right now it looks like that time is slipping away. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have a few more years, maybe we don't, but we need to be about God's business. That's one thing for sure.
Well, you ask, maybe it's a rhetorical type question, but you ask, why is God allowing the administration scandals to be made known at this time? And then you suggest, and I would agree with this, that perhaps part of this is to enable some end time events to play out as they're supposed to do here, because that's exactly, we're in the generation, the times of the signs. So do you have any other thoughts after you wrote that? Why is God allowing the scandals to be made known at this time?
Well, you know, there are two possibilities. Because it has come out in the last 3 or 4 months very quickly, one possibility is that it could have the effect of making Obama a lame duck president the rest of the way where not much is accomplished. That's one possibility. But the other possibility is, as you say, and as I mentioned in the newsletter, it could force the hand of the administration. They've lost 8 points in the polls in the last couple of months as a result of the scandals. So some of the advisors to President Obama may be saying, hey, we need to move things along more quickly while you still have some power left. So the fact that these scandals have been as big as they are and are getting as much coverage as they are all around the world could actually force the administration's hand and make some things happen in the next few months to, again, to bring their agenda to fulfillment. And it is mostly a socialistic, globalistic agenda from my perspective. So it'll be interesting to see 1 year down the road where everything will stand.
Well, it's obvious that the current administration is ignoring the will of the people completely.
Absolutely.
The media is beginning to catch on to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about that, his approval rating could be in the 30s here at some point, and lower than that on some issues like the economy. There is a catching on going on out there. And I think of, you know, the things going on behind closed doors. Listen, there's always someone else listening when you have a group of men and women making plans that are going to be, you know, undermining not only our country, but undermining what truth is. And God is listening. And the scripture says, Jesus said, everything that is hidden and concealed will be brought out in the light. And so when these things begin to come out, we just have to say, you know, God's at work here. And he's the one that is literally manipulating, or if you will, directing even the secular lost, the secular media out there, the people who don't know there's a God. Hmm. He still uses them for his purposes. So he's going to bring some of this stuff out.
I was able to grab a short clip here. It's a kind of a summary of the spying issues, the tracking systems, the technology. It's kind of a review, and it's a review of what's going on here in the last, 6 months or so.
And now the plain truth. As you've seen on our show, the government at times tells you lies. The deception is historic and continuous. The government needs to be exposed because it cannot be trusted to expose itself.
All right, folks, there is a lot going on right now. Decisions being made that are unprecedented and will have an overreaching impact on what it means to live in the United States of America.
I am not somebody who believes that the president has the authority to do whatever he wants or whatever she wants, whenever they want, just under the guise of counterterrorism.
The Obama administration telling federal judges in New Orleans yesterday that warrantless tracking of mobile devices is perfectly legal.
Just signed into law by the president, H.R. 347 gives federal agents sweeping powers to arrest and bring felony charges against citizens engaged in protests where the Secret Service is present.
The U.S. is funneling money into tracking systems that are threatening to make the very concept of privacy a thing of the past.
Technology that uses physiological and behavioral recognition to identify people.
Somebody can press a button and determine everywhere I've been, everything I've done, everyone I've been with.
Riot can map and analyze your locations, ultimately building a profile of your activities and movements. Later in the process, your relationships are analyzed, and in the end, you're assigned a risk level.
A police force able to figure out what criminals are going to do in advance?
FAST stands for Future Attribute Screening Technology. Future attributes. Not the attributes you have now. The attributes you're gonna have and will be punished for later.
If you use a cell, a computer, or walk outside, the FBI now considers you a terrorist suspect with no right to privacy.
About $11.3 million to monitor for criticism, to monitor for dissent.
For a system to monitor blogs, message boards, and social media sites like Twitter, Facebook.
Will allow the government to keep data on anybody who uses any sort of news or media outlet to share, report, or stay informed.
It gives the military the power to indefinitely detain American citizens, suspected, just suspected, not convicted, of some sort of involvement or affiliation with terrorism.
As much as we all want the country to be safe, want the authorities to be on top of it, are we really willing to have the government consider each and every one of us a terrorist? Because you see, that's essentially what's happening.
The Department of Homeland Security buying ammunition, now looking to purchase another 21 million rounds of ammunition. This in addition, of course, to the 1.6 billion rounds that Homeland Security has bought in just the past 10 months. Now, to put all of this in perspective, the military used approximately 70 million rounds each year of the Iraq War. 70 million rounds in a war.
The government does not need clear evidence to justify a deadly attack.
They can execute you. And we just had another ruling saying, well, even though it clearly seems to violate the Constitution, yep,
That's what we're going to continue to do. Welcome to Obama's America, which seems startlingly similar to the Bush America.
The federal government has spent $34 billion on militarizing our local police forces.
The police forces in the United States have been increasingly weaponized with similar equipment to that of the U.S. military.
Several U.S. citizens have already been assassinated. Here, Black Hawks fly low on downtown Miami, strafing highways with machine gun fire in what authorities call a practice run.
The Constitution guarantees due process. It does not guarantee judicial process.
Because the main threat is you.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. No, not Alex Jones. We're talking today with Gary Kopp, and I have a co-host in studio, Eric Barger. Gary, your thoughts on that? You've been writing about these things for a couple of decades.
Yeah, it's coming to fruition quite rapidly now. You'd have to have your head completely in the sand not to see where things are headed. And again, what I always try to bring it back to is I want to look at it from God's perspective. How is he seeing things right now, and why is he allowing these things to happen right now? And I wrote in our recent newsletter article that we just posted on our website as well, I said, as difficult as it may be for some to accept, although we are in the midst of a great spiritual battle, no major event happens unless God allows it. I personally believe that God will base his response, what he allows to occur, on the level of repentance he witnesses among the people. If Americans do not repent of their gross immorality and flagrant spiritual sins, I believe God will soon give us what we deserve by allowing the administration's agenda to move forward. Everything hinges on our repentance or lack thereof. And I really do believe that. And so again, all these scandals coming out now, will it make Obama a lame duck president the rest of the way, or will it actually speed up this agenda and allow it to move forward because God has seen enough of what's going on in America, and he's saying, I've drawn the line in the sand, the time is over. The big issue here is repentance, and it's got to start within the church, and I'll touch on that later.
Okay. Well, and there's another issue we need to touch on as well. I'm going to head there in just a moment because I was watching Fox this morning, and John Fund was on from National Review Online, and he was talking about the incredible database, the Data Hub. And that's what it's called, Federal Data Hub, that's being implemented for Obamacare. The Affordable Care Act, I think for the simplicity's sake, I'll just call it Obamacare here in the next few minutes. And he's saying things like a Department of Health and Human Services is about to hire an army of patient navigators to inform Americans about the subsidized insurance promised by Obamacare and assist them enrolling. These organizers will be guided by the new Federal Data Hub, which will give them access to reams of personal information compiled by federal agencies ranging from the IRS to the Department of Defense, the Veterans Administration. The federal government is planning to quietly enact what could be the largest consolidation of personal data in the history of the Republic. Again, John Fund, I believe he's a Wall Street Journal commentator. And my hunch, Gary Kaa, is that the abuses we've seen to date will pale in comparison to what lies ahead. My concern is that the abuse of the IRS monitoring this Obamacare with the level of corruption going on now is even going to pale some of these other things that have been going on the last 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. This whole new arrangement is going to bring our medical records and a lot of other things of all individuals, all citizens of the U.S. under the control of a government-run computer system. And so there's going to be a lack of security within that. But even if the government doesn't leak anything out, how do we feel about our government having all that information on us? I believe it's unconstitutional. We're moving toward a police state. And unless something happens quickly to change it, within 2 years, I think this will be fully implemented at the rate things are moving ahead.
What will be fully implemented?
I believe almost every move that you make will be known, and those people who are speaking out in certain areas, even as we are doing right now, there will be a massive effort to silence those folks. I believe if there's just one major crisis between now and then, it could move things forward in a matter of a couple of months in ways that we maybe even now cannot imagine. I just talked to a gentleman who was down here in Central America where I'm at. He came down from the United States. This was about 3 months ago. He had worked in the Department of Homeland Security. He's a former computer executive with a large computer company that, if I mention its name, everyone would recognize it. Very level-headed Christian man. And the reason he was down here, as it turns out, is he was considering moving here because of what recently happened back on the home front. He said that toward the end of last year and the beginning of this year, contract went out to some of the top key people in FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security that they had to agree to, they had to sign on to. And he said, as a born-again Christian, there is no way anybody with a conscience could agree to the things that they would have had to agree to. And so, as a result, largely the Christians within those federal agencies have left. And again, this took place, I believe, between the end of November and the early part of the year. So there are very few Christians left within that network now, according to what this gentleman shared with me. And it was a good source. It wasn't second or third-hand information. It came directly from a man who knew very well what was going on. And he said other people as well are looking to leave the country. Now, these are people who actually worked for Federal Emergency Management Agency and were part of the Homeland Security Network. And so that really troubles me.
But that leaves evil unchecked, and that's troubling to me, because Christians are to be the salt and light. They're to prevent the continued decay of the country, so that troubles me.
It does me too, but just let me say this. In his opinion, and he's been fighting the good fight, he feels things are so far along, they're getting ready to happen. And he didn't want to be part of it. He didn't want to be in a Hitlerian type of administration where he was forced to carry out the orders of those above him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear where they are coming from a religious standpoint. So apparently he feels he's done what he can do, and other people more and more are feeling the same way. If they are correct in that, then it does mean that our time is very limited. I'm hoping they're wrong and that we have more time.
There are so many things that Gary has just enumerated and that were played in that clip that I want to comment on. But first of all, my head is spinning. Secondly, my stomach is churning. But thirdly, I got to remember, look up, our redemption draweth nigh. These are signs of the day that you and I live in, folks. And, you know, I know some of you out there, this is very, very hard to handle. You think you could trust your government. We pretty much know now, after everything that's come out, it's been proven that that's not going to happen. I think of the time that I've spent with Gary through the years. We've traveled together, and what he's telling us here this morning, everybody, listen, you need to hear this. He's had his finger on this pulse for a long time. This is not over the top. This is not all a whole bunch of scare stuff. But I'll tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if there's ever a time and ever a doubt about what you should do, this is the time right now for you to surrender to Him. That's the only hope we have. And, you know, when you think about what's going on, Him talking about how the Christians have removed themselves from these agencies, that's a kind of rapture picture to me, because when the Christians are taken off the planet, think of the hell that will break loose, unrestrained. That's exactly what's going on in the administration right now with Homeland Security and FEMA and so on, is the good people, the people who would have a conscience, are gone. That should be the most frightening thing I just heard, the thing that would really concern me. And again, we need to stand up and be counted. I, for one, I'm not going to sit inside my house and worry that somebody is going to see me from a drone and then number me among the dissenters. I think we need, at this point, to have brave Christians, brave people who will stand up and be counted and will be pointing these things out. And that's why we're going to continue to do it here on the program and elsewhere.
My comment here is, I think that people, I mean, today are feeling helpless because they don't feel they have a final say in a lot of these areas. I mean, the government's way too big. It cares less about what all of us are thinking here today. And, I mean, just this whole Obamacare issue, two-thirds of America is very troubled about it. Gary, when I get back, I want to ask you about, because you have written for years, and this plays into all that we're discussing here. You've written for years about a coming global crisis, and you send out some possible scenarios from a Middle East war, which is clearly on the horizon, economic complete confusion and chaos on the horizon, some natural disasters, some other scenarios that could play out, and I want to visit that when we get back, because what this is leading to, and it's what you've written about and spoken about for years, and that's this coming global system. So in just a couple of minutes when I get back, we're going to head into that direction. Please, folks, sign up for my print newsletter. Call the office or sign up online, the e-newsletter. You can become a CD subscriber, $15 a month, and get a CD of everything we do on this program. We are coming back in exactly 2 minutes. Don't go away. Don't touch that dial.
We have much more to come with Gary Kaw in just a moment. First, we want to tell you that all programs that you hear can be accessed from our website at olivetreeviews.org as soon as you hear them on the radio. On our website, you can find our mobile apps available for those of you who would like to get this program every week on your smartphone or tablet. For contact information, our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. To contact us online, our web address is olivetreeviews.org. But if you would rather talk to us directly, our ministry phone number is 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We will be back with Gary Kaw in just 2 minutes.
Eric, as you travel around the country, what are some of the spiritual trends that you see within the church today?
Well, Larry, there are some really good things. But at the same token, we see the church really going back and following the lead of the liberalism that took over 100 to 150 years ago. Evangelicals are now plagued with this kind of thing.
A program like Understanding the Times Radio, why do you think people come back every weekend?
You know, Larry, apostasy is rampant today. I think once you examine what's going on in the church and look at the trends that are around us, and you see them in the light of the Bible, and you hear the experts that we have on the air each week talk about the end times and talk about apologetics and discernment and those issues that we deal with. I really think people are getting information from our program that they're really not hearing anywhere else, especially with the perspective we bring and most importantly with the biblical aspects.
And it's not just a radio show, is it? The Understanding of the Times Conference is an extension of the program. Every year we bring some of the best Bible teachers in the country together where we talk about the issues of the day according to the Bible. Tell us more about that.
It's really exciting, Larry. A couple of conferences ago, a girl walked up to me and introduced herself to me and told me she listens to our program, that she'd come all the way from Australia to be a part of the conference. Another lady from Belgium walked up to me and told me the same thing, and how exciting it is to know that we're helping to unite the remnant from all over the world with not only the messages that come out each week, but also with the newsletters and the conference.
And by the way, Eric, that conference will be held on Saturday, October 5th at Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Check out our website at olivetreeviews.org for more information. So much of what we do as a ministry is offered free of charge to our audience, but we always ask for financial partners to help us stand against the tide of our times as we deliver a message of discerning truth according to the Bible. Would you consider becoming a monthly partner with us? Our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That address again is Olive Tree Ministries, P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311.
Remember, Understanding the Times, 2013, Saturday, October the 5th, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, suburb of Minneapolis. Speakers, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Dr. Ron Rhodes, Joseph Farrell, WorldNet Daily. No cost, no registration. Look it up online or call us Monday through Friday, 763-559-4444.
World War I resulted in the forming of the League of Nations, which was the first significant step in the direction of global government. Then we had World War II, and that resulted in the formation of the United Nations. So in theory, a third major global crisis could result in full-fledged world government. It would be not too difficult to imagine a flare-up that would result in a major loss of life, either through the use of chemical weapons or imagine even just one nuclear bomb falling somewhere in the Middle East and a million people being dead and how the world would react to that. You would have the global authorities, if you will, and talking heads in the secular media coming in. This has to stop. We have to have some type of solution to this problem. And the only way we're going to have world peace is to have a world government.
Our program today highlights the importance of how biblical prophecy is being lived out every day in America as we move forward toward a one-world government. Our hosts Jan Markell and Eric Barger are talking with author Gary Kaw about some troubling developments concerning our future as Americans. Here again is Jan Markell.
Welcome back. Always glad you can join me as you are running to and fro these days. And I'm talking this hour with Gary Kaw. He's been one of my conference speakers. He's an author, commentator. His probably most well-known book is En Route to Global Occupation. You can learn more at GaryKaw.org. That's K-A-H, GaryKaw.org. In studio with me is my now-and-then co-host, Eric Barger. And Gary, when we went into that break, I said that when I came back, I wanted to talk to you about the thing you have written about forever, a coming global crisis that could make all of the things we're talking about go into even more fast forward than they are now. Some of the options, a Middle East war, It's probably on the horizon. Economic catastrophe, natural disasters. Bring us up to date on what you think about this.
Well, historically, globalists have always advanced their agendas quite effectively on the heels of a major crisis, whether it be a world crisis or within individual countries, crises on a regional basis, for example. But specifically, and I wrote about this in my book years ago, World War I resulted in the forming of the League of Nations, which was the first significant step in the direction of global government. Then we had World War II, and that resulted in the formation of the United Nations. So in theory, a third major global crisis could result in full-fledged world government. And I think we're not that far away from it, but I do believe it will take some type of a crisis. You look at what's going on in the Middle East, everything has been turned on its head over the last 2 or 3 years. It's amazing how quickly things have moved. And it would be not too difficult to imagine a flare-up that would result in a major loss of life, either through the use of chemical weapons or imagine even just one nuclear bomb falling somewhere in the Middle East and a million people being dead and how the world would react to that. You would have the global authorities, if you will, and talking heads and the secular media coming in. This has to stop. We have to have some type of solution to this problem. And the only way we're going to have world peace is to have a world government where you do not have armies competing against each other, but you have a type of global police force or global army to protect people from each other. And right on the heels of a war, something like that may sound attractive to the average mind. Most people won't be thinking and asking the big questions, such as, well, what would happen to our current system of checks and balances if you have one government or one group of people in control of the whole world? What if they're corrupt? Where do you go to then? You know, and my parents, and you know this, Jan, and many of your listeners already know this, but my parents went through World War II. My father fled from the Nazis and the communists in Croatia with bullets flying all around him. He and his family became refugees. They lost everything they had. And my mother grew up under Hitler in Germany with her father, my grandfather, literally being sought after at one point in time by the Gestapo. Fortunately, the mayor of their village was a family friend, and when they came looking for Grandpa, they sent the Gestapo in the opposite direction on a wild goose chase. But anyway, my parents spoke about these things when I was growing up, and now to see these happening in the country that they came to, America, known for its freedoms, and now in their old age, they're seeing things unfolding in this country that both mom and dad have told me this is so reminiscent of what happened in Europe when Hitler was rising to power and in the days right afterwards. So we do have to take this seriously. Anyone who's been through it will tell you that, and they're very concerned. The people who aren't concerned are those who are largely asleep, who as long as they have a little bit of money in their pocket and they're able to take a 2 or 3 week vacation once a year and go down to McDonald's and drink iced coffee every other day, you know, and the things, whatever they enjoy doing, as long as they can keep doing that, they're okay. They choose to put their head in the sand. But that doesn't change reality. And we do need to be informed about these things. We can't put our head in the sand. But it's not just to save ourselves. It's to get the gospel message out while there's time. And we've got to have a Christ-likeness about us in the approach that we take and what we do in the short time that remains.
Gary, you write, every problem, no matter how small or fabricated, will suddenly become a reason for why we need a world government. The most convincing argument will have to do with the environment, global debt, world poverty, and the prevention of war. A new world order, they will say, is needed because individual nations are no longer capable of dealing with these complex problems on their own. And, you know, I think back to this whole environmentalism issue, and the mantra of the environmentalists really is, pollution knows no borders, so let's have no borders. And so you can just see this kind of thinking and how it eventually morphs into the concept of a one world system, which, folks, it's outlined in the Bible. Book of Daniel talks about it. Book of Revelation talks about it. So it's going to happen. The question is, when is it going to happen? I want to play a quick soundbite, and it's Senator Mike Enzi of Wyoming. He's reacting to an appointment to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, who hope to create a Google Earth of every financial transaction of every American. It's very short. It's less than 2 minutes.
Mr. President, I want to speak today on the nomination of Richard Cordray to be the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I want to speak against this confirmation. Why is this nomination important? Once the director is approved by Congress, by the Senate, not all of Congress, just by the Senate, we no longer have any control over a bureau that collects everyone's financial records in detail and can cancel a loan up to 180 days, even if both parties to the loan are happy. The reason this is of utmost concern to me, and has been for the past 3 years, is the lack of congressional oversight and blatant privacy intrusions of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB. I said this bill was supposed to be about regulating Wall Street. Instead, it's creating a Google Earth on every financial transaction. That's right. The government will be able to see every detail of your finances. Your permission? Not needed. They can look at your transactions from the 50,000-foot perspective, or they can look right down to the tiny details of the time and place where you pulled cash out of an ATM. I'm sure you'd like to hear me tell you that you can call or write the Bureau and say you don't want the Bureau collecting your financial records from your bank, your student loan information from a third-party provider, or your mortgage data, or your ATM data. I'm sorry. You can't. You can't tell them to stay out of your records. It's not possible. If your data is being collected, you do not have the option to opt out. Nor does the CFPB need any kind of permission from you to gather your personal financial information. I cannot, in good conscience, with these concerns weighing so heavily on my mind, support moving forward with the confirmation of a director to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
If you join me late, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Gary Kaa, actually from Central America right now. Eric Barger is in studio with me as we talk about, well, if I could go back to my intro, the horror of unparalleled proportion that seems to be unleashed on America and what has been revealed in the last few months. As I said a moment ago, well, it simply outdoes what even George Orwell had in mind when he wrote 1984. I think that was in the late 40s that he wrote that book. Eric, your thoughts to that clip I just played?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you feel overwhelmed yet? This is only one thing. There are so many different facets or doors that are being opened, and we're looking in, and we get overwhelmed every time a new thing comes along. And I was thinking this before the break, Jan and Gary, and I think it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it, you know, so we just get this on tape, because here is the whole deal, folks. This is the setting up of the Antichrist system. He's not going to show up one day and then make all of these things come to pass after he shows up. He's going to walk into a system that's already been built to his liking. Amen. And basically enthrone himself in it. This is such a biblical time that we live in. I mean, I realize all of us would just like to live to ripe old ages and have complete peace and harmony and no problems in our lives. Of course, that's not going to happen here on the earth, but you know what I mean? We don't want to see these things come, but these things tell us where we are, and I keep saying that, but I can't get away from it. We have so many people in the church today who have been led into dominionism and Kingdom Now theology and aren't thinking about these things and don't understand it. Some of them are going to applaud these things. They're going to applaud these different moves that are going to come and say, oh, look how safe we'll be. Yeah, just give it some time. And when Antichrist shows up, tell me how safe you think you'll be.
Okay, gentlemen, listen, I appreciate your profundity. I do. And you both are dead right on. But I want to read two short paragraphs written, well, it's actually written in WorldNet Daily. It is an interview of John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, which is a Christian-based legal organization. And the article says this. What the Department of Homeland Security became under Janet Napolitano is a monstrous surveillance and very intimidating group, said Rutherford Institute President John Whitehead, constitutional attorney. And this is Whitehead. I think originally there were some good intentions with the Department of Homeland Security, but what happened under President Obama is that it accelerated rapidly. And he says, I criticize George Bush's policies under President Obama. It's out of control. And then he says that Napolitano's legacy of reducing freedom is evident across the board. And I want us to reflect back on this gentleman for just a minute. And that is starting in early 09 when the department issued a report listing returning soldiers as one of the greatest threats to America and its security. Drones are coming. Now, this is Whitehead again. Drones are coming in 2015. They're going to be awesome. They'll have scanning devices, rubber bullets, sound cannons. They can look through the walls of your home, Whitehead said. They're just going to bypass the Fourth Amendment. Okay, not new. And they already are doing that. And then he concludes, a change at the top of DHS doesn't give Whitehead any hope that the government will rein in its activities. Gary, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think he's absolutely right. I agree with most of what he said. You probably know this. I think Eric knows. Years ago, I myself was in that network. I served a three-year term and would have been called in if there was a national crisis to serve in one of three locations for up to 6 months at a time without being able to tell my family where I was. Now, when I first joined, I didn't know about any of these things. These things were told to me afterwards, and I had some real problems with what I learned. And so that's why after I served my three-year term, I got out. I felt that I couldn't be part of it. Like the gentleman I mentioned earlier in the program, there are certain things that as Christians, unless we have very clear instructions from the Lord, it's difficult to be part of, and we shouldn't be part of, because in doing so, we're doing wrong or helping to propagate something that is wrong. And so years ago, this was already in motion, but it's grown, and now it's become a very powerful network with incredible technology that they have access to. And who's going to monitor them? You know, if they want to track an individual who has done absolutely nothing wrong, but he's an opponent of the administration and is taking issue with the administration on certain items and speaking out against it, who's to say that a drone can't follow them and take them out? They can do it overseas. They can do it in the U.S. So really, unless a miracle happens soon, very soon, the administration will be so powerful that no group will be able to stop. And at that point, we as a country, I believe, will have been prepared to go into a global government as well. And as Eric pointed out so eloquently earlier, the stage will be set for the Antichrist. Everything will be in place. And so I think that's where we're at. We're right on the threshold. And depending on what happens within the U.S., especially in the very near future, and the level of repentance, and how many people drop to their knees and cry out to the Lord asking for more time and are serious about repenting, maybe God will give us a little bit more time, but maybe not. Maybe he's going to allow these things to occur because of the level of sin in our nation. So we have to be prepared for that.
Let me just comment on something you've written, because I'm playing off of what you've just said now. And in your current newsletter, folks, you can look into that at GaryKaw.org. In current newsletter, you say this, and what we must do to repent. But you have an interesting paragraph here. You say, egocentric Christian leaders must stop slandering and slinging mud at Christian brothers and sisters with whom they disagree the least bit. The personal vendettas must end, and forgiveness must be sought from the Lord and from each other. The lack of unity among Bible-believing Christians is a huge stumbling block to those who are unsaved. And then in an email to me, Gary, you reference the kind of unity that's spoken of in John 17, the need for a true John 17 unity in the church. And you don't mean some kind of ecumenical type thing.
No.
And then you say again, you say to me, God will deal harshly with those who carry out personal vendettas. There is a need for sound doctrine and unity among believers. There's no room for personal egos and agendas in doing God's work at this critical hour. And I think what you're referring to is there's been a message of repentance out there for the last year and a half. It's been mocked and scorned, and a lot of very unchristian things have been done in that realm. Am I right?
Yes, you are. And I also reveal in my article that only about 7% of U.S. citizens are truly born again, based on the latest reliable surveys that I've seen. And so we're already in a small minority. And then to have people within that 7% slinging mud at each other over various issues, and I think what has happened is that a number of people within that 7% have become followers of individuals rather than followers of the Lord. And if there's a personal vendetta against a certain individual, that seems to be the rampage that certain people are on for a month or two. And, you know, watching that from down here where I've been, it breaks my heart. And God took me to John 17, and listen to what he says in verse 22. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Speaking of Christians, he goes on, I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity. Why? To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Unity among the body of Christ is one of the most powerful testimonies we have to the world to show that we're authentic. And so it does a disservice and an injustice to Jesus for us to behave in certain ways against brothers and sisters in Christ. If people have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they believe that He is the only way. It's only through His shed blood on the cross that we have eternal life. They believe in the virgin birth, the inerrancy of Scripture, and they're walking with the Lord, then they are brother or sister in Christ. They might disagree with us on certain things within Scripture, and we can certainly debate those and talk about those in a spirit of love. But when it becomes a bashing, for example, and I won't mention any names, but I know of certain Jewish people who've accepted Yeshua as Messiah over the last year. I came across them in Connecticut. In fact, it was my last speaking engagement I had in the U.S. It was about 30 or 40 miles outside of the New York City area in Connecticut. And these people had a huge turnaround in their lives embracing Jesus Christ as their Savior as a result of a certain ministry that really impacted them. And then on the other hand, I find out that several people are just blasting that ministry, and I'm seeing souls being won to the Lord through that ministry. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of a testimony is that? At the very least, things should be discussed quietly with each other if there are disagreements. And I know down here I've been in a Bible study group, and we don't always see eye to eye on everything, but we talk about it in a spirit of love and recognize each other as being fellow Christians and believers. So there's room for discussion, yeah, but it can't be hateful, spiteful, and slanderous, and that's what I'm seeing more and more, and it grieves God and it grieves me.
You know, I don't know if I'm more grieved about some of the discerners and the people who are picking apart other Christians and bringing destruction, or I'm grieved about the Obama zombie with his finger on the trigger of a drone.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all concerning things, but the church needs to pull together here rather than splinter apart. And I suggest that that we don't follow people. We follow what the Scripture says, and that we also recognize where we are in time by what the Scripture says.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining me today. And folks, I've got a special report coming up. We're going to be analyzing another situation that is troubling. But Gary Kaa, thank you for checking in with us today. Really, really appreciate your info. It's GaryKaa.org, GaryKaa.org. And I'm coming back in just 60 seconds.
This ministry has an active Facebook and Twitter community where you can engage with some of the topics that you hear on radio. Find out how to access our social media on our website, olivetreeviews.org. Coming up, our special report with radio talk show host David Fiorazzo on the recent abortion demonstrations in Texas.
I've read something where some of the pro-life state leaders, they survived death threats, and they were, at one point in another video I saw, they were saying, "Hail Satan."
That is next with Jan Martell.
And if you can hear evil, the perversion of the gospel, and you are not provoked about it, then you are not in touch with God.
That was my dad some 24 years ago, but it's still true today. Hello, I'm Jill Martin Ritchie, and my dad, Dr. Walter Martin, was so instrumental in his day in helping all of us understand how deception can infiltrate the church.
We have been so busy fighting among ourselves, the whole world going to hell on the doorstep while you're fighting about nothing.
Today we have very few voices like his that warn about the deception and compromise that has been influencing the church. However, there is one voice that continues to tell the inconvenient truth.
What on earth is happening to America the Beautiful?
Jan Markell is one of those trusted voices that remains faithful to the truth of the Scriptures. Won't you consider how you can partner with her to help support the radio program on your local station? Consider a charitable gift today. The mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311.
God or man? That's how I like to sum it up. God or man? We are either moving toward God and the ways of God and biblical Christianity, or moving away from God, humanism, socialism, secular progressivism, and all these other isms, and that will lead to moral relativism, and of course, then you just make up your own rules in what is true, because what's true for you is not true for me. And it's really astounding that she is trying to play God. She was into eugenics, population control, sterilization. So we look at Hitler as being evil. Well, there was evil brewing right here in America, and it started in the 1920s and 1930s with Margaret Sanger.
David Fiorazzo is the author of the best-selling book, Eradicate, Blotting Out God in America. And he is a talk show host at Q90 in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Here now is our special report.
Okay, welcome back to the program. And just a quick reminder, remember, keep us in mind as you think about your not just charitable giving, but as you do some of your estate planning as well, so that the message of Understanding the Times Radio might continue for the next many years. Moving into this segment, I'm going to be welcoming back a guest who's been with me before, but let me just say this, because many conservatives have been watching Texas this summer as there's been an abortion battle that's been raging. And what I notice is that the lines are being drawn more dramatically between good and evil today. The good versus evil, it's just more blatant. And the hatred and the vitriol coming from, in this case, and this what we're looking at this segment, the pro-abortion activists at Texas State House, it was unbelievable. A Planned Parenthood and their allies resorted to virtually mob-like tactics to stop the passage of what is just a common-sense pro-life bill that would have protected Texas women from future Kermit Gosnells and end abortions for babies 20 weeks and older. And now they are more desperate than ever, apparently, some of those coming against all of this. So I want to welcome back to the program David Fiorazzo. David, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Jan. Good to be with you.
Referencing your book here for a moment to Eradicate, Blotting Out God in America. And folks, that is in my store, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our products. And David, the pro-lifers in Texas, state of Texas, write this. There's nothing they won't do, from trying to infiltrate our pro-life Facebook pages that are planning trips to Austin, to screaming and swearing, waving coat hangers in the air and forcing little kids to do the same. These folks are totally out of control, meaning those who've been trying to stand in the way of the pro-life elements in the state of Texas. I'm sure you've watched this as I have.
Absolutely, I have. And let's take our hats off to Texas and, mm-hmm. and the pro-lifers and Governor Rick Perry and what they're trying to do down there, because it's so important, as you said.
Let me play just a soundbite here quickly. This is a real short soundbite, and it's a group of pro-life activists in the state of Texas, in the state capitol, and as they are trying to pray over various things, in the process, some of those coming against them start to scream, God is dead, God is dead. So here you have the good versus evil in almost living color, except this is radio, so you can't see it. Perhaps you could hear them screaming, God is dead in the background there as the pro-lifers were singing Amazing Grace. Here's what another one writes who was present at this whole activity. This is here over the summer in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And she says, when I arrived at the Capitol at 7:30 a.m., there was a young lady going around the Capitol cursing at the top of her lungs and shouting curses on the Capitol, the governor, and everyone who entered. So I just began to pray. I went in and I started on the top floor praying over each floor and all the offices, changing curses to blessings. Once I finished with all the floors, I went to specific reps and senators' offices that I knew were being persecuted and threatened, and I prayed over them as well. She says, after singing some praise songs, all the mouths of the opposition stopped, and for the rest of the afternoon, they didn't utter a sound over their normal conversation.
Wow.
David.
Wow. This reminds us of the overall spiritual battle that's taking place.
Yes, yes.
And we, again, need to be reminded our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But here it is, light versus darkness played out in life down there in Texas. And I've read something where some of the pro-life state leaders, they survived death threats, and they were, at one point in another video I saw, they were saying, Hail Satan.
Yes, they were.
That's just political bullying, and they're trying to use Alinsky tactics and bullying and trying to come against it with these threats, and even some of the pro-lifers were being chased down the Capitol hallways for their beliefs. And the media, of course, they have to get involved, too. I read something, I think it was from Newsbusters, that the networks gave Wendy Davis 3 times more coverage than they did the Gosnell trial. And that's really
amazing.
Interesting to me, because
amazing.
She was the pro-choice senator down mm-hmm. there in Texas mm-hmm. that was coming against Rick Perry. But it's fascinating to me, this seeing this all played out, that thank God for them that are trying to make abortion more difficult, because it is dangerous. And we forget the brutality of abortion. We seem to forget the procedure that is never talked about. And if I can just interject here, there are two main types of procedures, the medical type via medication and causing a woman to miscarry. And then, you know, there's the
of course, the surgical procedure, mm-hmm. where the different instruments are used to remove parts of the dismembered body from the uterus. It's very horrific. And now with the new research proving that babies in the womb feel pain, I just read something, believe it or not, on the Huffington Post that says 70% of even pro-choice people in some situations said that they do favor measures like Texas's measure, because the more informed people get and the more information they have about the process of development, the baby in the womb, and these bills are wonderful. More people are open to them because they know the facts. And as we've talked about before, 83% of all Americans, not just Christians, but 83% of Americans do favor restrictions on abortion. So it's interesting that the more education, the more information that we can get out there, yes, there's still going to come and attack and try to use their tactics and, you know, mobocracy, you know, down in Texas. Like, that'll happen in different parts of the country. But the truth is still hopefully going to prevail and get through when reasonable people and the will of the voters, the majority mm-hmm. of the voters, side with what Rick Perry is doing. And same thing we're trying to do in Wisconsin. Governor Walker signed a couple pro-life bills, one of them requiring abortionists to provide an ultrasound. And that is incredibly wonderful news, because when a young woman, in whatever situation she comes from, is pregnant, walks into a Planned Parenthood or an abortion clinic, and it's necessary for them to provide an ultrasound, when she sees the baby in her womb,
yes,
if you're pro-life and if you believe in biblical Christianity like we do, life is one of the most important issues, Jan. And I'll tell you, the chapter in my book about the buried history, the dark history of Planned Parenthood,
yes,
that seems to get more people comment on that. I guess it really touches a nerve, because life is so important, and people don't realize it is an agenda that goes way back, and it is very evil. And so I'm encouraged by this good news. I'm encouraged by what's happening in Texas, yeah. And I know you are too.
Well, we talked about Margaret Sanger last time you were on air with me. And folks, if you want more info, the book is Eradicate Blotting Out God in America. I'm talking to David Fiorazzo. And just go to Olive Tree Views, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our products. And we talked about Sanger. Of course, Hillary Clinton admires Margaret Sanger so tremendously. David, you said a few weeks ago, I wrote about America's culture of death, the dark history of abortion, and the eugenics movement in America, pioneered by Planned Parenthood's Margaret Sanger. And it's important to understand her warped worldview, along with her atheist, feminist, and elitist mindset. So let's just reference for a minute her warped worldview, because this woman, her concepts are being praised and heralded. You talk about evil being called good today because the abortion industry is praising Margaret Sanger today.
And, of course, there's a Margaret Sanger Award, I believe they still give out annually. Hillary Clinton won that once. But, yes, and I think I don't mean to oversimplify a very complicated and confusing, potentially confusing issue, but it all comes down to our battle, the spiritual battle, and this is what's played out in America, God or man. Mm. That's how I like to sum it up, God or man. We are either moving toward God and the ways of God and biblical Christianity, or moving away from God, humanism, socialism, secular progressivism, and all these other isms, and that will lead to moral relativism, and of course, then you know, just make up your own rules in what is true, because what's true for you is not true for me, and that argument gets, you know, twisted around. So it's interesting that Sanger's history really hasn't been brought out, of course, by the pro-choice media and Hollywood and other places, but most Americans don't know. That's why I thought it was so important to write that chapter.
Yes.
Because, I mean, she had a guy named Ernst Rudin, who was one of Hitler's top eugenicists, write for her birth control review. And she's got many, many, many publications that anybody that wants to take 5 or 10 minutes and look them up online or in the library, you can find some of her writings. And it's really astounding that she is trying to play God. She was into eugenics, population control, sterilization. So we look at Hitler as being evil. Well, there was evil brewing right here in America. And it started in the 1920s and 1930s with Margaret Sanger.
David, you write, I'm quoting you here, Christianity is the one thing that is holding back the cascading evil that is out there. And honestly, the slide into a total moral abyss is prevented because people who listen to you and to this program, members of the church, are standing in the gap. Why don't you take 30 seconds and wind this down?
Sure. Well, we're just trying to be the light that Jesus has called us to be, right? We are not to be secret agents. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. How does God make his appeal through us? Well, we can't be silent. We've got to speak light in the darkness. We've got to be light. We've got to say something about the evil. We've got to confront it. and expose it, as it says, I believe, in Ephesians 5:11. So where life is concerned, yes, this is good. Some of these laws are good in different states, Texas, Wisconsin, and other states. But restricting the murder of the unborn is good, but it's not enough. Even if it got to the point of reversing Roe v. Wade, which I hope would happen, I don't believe it will, that won't stop the evil of man, which has been around since the beginning of time. So our culture is too far gone, and only Jesus Christ can change human hearts. And we are his vessels in this earth, and we are here for such a time as this to proclaim his goodness and his salvation. And that's what we're called to do, is reach people with the good, the pure, the lovely, the admirable, the excellent, the praiseworthy, and to think about such things and direct people to him. And that way, all the evil that is so potentially overwhelming kind of gets minimized when we focus on God, who is sovereign and in control of it all.
David, thank you for joining me today. Again, the book is Blotting Out God in America. I carry it in my bookstore. Just go to olivetreeviews.org and to my products. Folks, remember, fear is a choice. Frustration is a choice. Trust is a choice. Do not fear is in the Bible 365 times. Is there a message there? And yes, we've talked about troubling things today. It is an act of faith to look at this world and not fear, to not be anxious, to not be angry and frustrated. Focusing on eternal things neutralizes the attitude and the angry juices in your stomach telling you that you can't stomach one more dilemma. So look up and not around, and thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Understanding the Times Radio exists to keep you informed on issues rarely covered in the news or in the church. Our topics have biblical significance as we move ever so closer to the coming of our Lord. Our hope and prayer is that our weekly digest, now on 652 radio stations across America, is helping to awaken believers to the late hour of our day. We want to inform you and at the same time bring you hope, regardless of how dark our days get. Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. Will you help us keep this message of information and inspiration coming weekly across America? Never before is it as important for you to act now to support ministries that are telling the inconvenient truth. There may be a day this kind of ministry will be barred from the airwaves. So now is the time to get this message out to as many audiences as possible. As a gift to all those who financially give during the summer months, we are sending a DVD of a recent message Jan Markell gave concerning Israel. When you give, please ask for this free appreciation gift. For contact information, our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. To contact us online, our web address is olivetreeviews.org. But if you would rather talk to us directly, our ministry phone number is 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Remember, Jan Markell is active every day posting news headlines that keep you informed about these last days on her website, olivetreeviews.org. See you next week.